On this episode of ITAV, AV manufacturers getting more involved in the UC space. What you need to know when designing and deploying systems that include edge computing devices. And the U.S. government sanctions on technology and how it impacts AV. All that and more. Next on ITAV.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is ITAV, episode 30, recorded Friday, May 31st, 2019. OSI AV.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by Crestron and by
Sure, because every voice matters.
This is the ITAV show, the monthly look at how the IT and the AV industries come together. My name is Tim Albright. I'm your host. With us to discuss the news and stories we have gathered this week, first and foremost, my buddy Victoria Ferrari. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you. Howdy.
Howdy. She's in Texas, so that makes complete sense. Also with us is my other buddy, Mr. Derek Jonkus from Extron. He's in New York, so I guess, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
How are you? All right. enough of the U.S. Accent jokes. First story we have up here actually comes to us from the New York Times. The U.S. government is putting pressure and actually talking with Google about eliminating access to certain technologies, and not just Google, but other tech giants as well, to certain companies, one of them being Huawei. If you're not familiar with Huawei, they are, I believe, the cell phone leader. Leading manufacturer. They also do displays and a number of other technologies throughout the world. Derek, I want to start with you on this. This is not the first step that the U.S. government has taken in trying to, they're trying to crack down on both security, as well as they're putting pressure on China for other trade reasons. This, again, not trying to get into political thing here. Not the first story we've done on trade practices and the compromises that both China and U.S. are trying to make. But when it comes down to the brass tacks and the technology here, it was the first time I had seen the U.S. government, you know, say, hey, from a technology standpoint, Mr. U.S. company can't, you know, allow this other company to use your technology. What impact does a step like this have on manufacturers? And again, we're kind of speculating here on what possibly could be, but also what has already happened with some of the other trade conversations?
I think my perspective, there's a new era in the information age here, where it's, I think countries, companies, organizations are thinking more broadly about how they gauge and measure risk. And I think from the government's perspective, I think they've kind of espoused that, hey, there is enough risk here to warrant us eliminating this particular manufacturer from making certain technologies available. But the trouble with that is, in this very interconnected age, is that, you know, you have everything from operating systems to hardware to then you have different service types that are available from various manufacturers, not just in the AV space, but everything that AV touches. And I do think that downstream there's going to be probably a series of things that cascade and impact the integrators, the consultants, people who are responsible for, you know, designing and curating the technology that go into these spaces, because many places that individuals in our industry work are very heavily regulated spaces. So whether it's the government or banking or healthcare, I mean, those are the big ones we think of, but there's so many others. And then there's probably also an impact to what happens to us personally. There's probably some impact to the way that, you know, if you're in certain areas of the world, you may not be able to use certain operating systems on those pieces of hardware. So, I feel like it's multifaceted, and we're just very at the very beginning, sort of the tip of the spear. Yeah. I would imagine there's going to be other companies and vendors and things are going to bubble up as we kind of move forward here.
Well, Victoria and Derek made a very good point. You know, there is also a global impact here, not just for those of us in the States. Victoria, one of a number of her clients are multinational clients. So there could possibly be, you know, situations where they're able to use technology here that they're not able to use elsewhere in their other global offices, or vice versa. Victoria, when you're talking to clients and you're talking to customers, what are you able to tell them, or how, I guess, can you best couch some of these moves by the U.S. government?
Well, luckily, you know, a lot of clients that are making decisions like that, they're up on, you know, the latest political things that are going on. So, you know, it's kind of like a we're in this together kind of thing. You know, our hands are tied, and so it's going to impact you as well. But it's, you know, something that's definitely is difficult to navigate, and, you know, how do we address it? You know, I guess U.S. companies could start looking at the things that they're outsourcing, or the things that, you know, they're getting from other countries, and think about how they can start making them here to try and circumvent it in the future. But even that, I mean, like Derek said, we are, you know, we're a global community. I mean, there are some countries that do things better than us, and, you know, that shouldn't hinder the advancement of technology and what we're trying to do as a global community.
That actually is true. And the one thing that I have I've thankfully learned over the last few years of doing what we do here at AV Nation is getting to know a lot of the folks in our global community and learning how, not just how they do AV, because, you know, every community, every region is different. Every country is different. They have different laws and different tariffs. You know, talking with a manufacturer and some integrators that do business in Singapore, you know, there are certain restrictions that country puts on there, certain restrictions that Brazil and the EU, also every country in every region has their own laws and their own regulations for a reason, you know, because it's them and their company and their community. But then we look at the global aspect of this, right, where, you know, Extron releases a product and it's a great product and we do this, that, and the other. Well, that's great. This is why they have different SKUs, because it you know, from electrical standpoint or other standpoint, it may not work in certain regions, and so you have different things, and so all of us kind of have to make allowances for the different impacts that certain things, including this, will have on us. So, all right, guys. Next story here comes to us from AV Network on SCN. Kramer has joined the Logitech Collaboration Program, LCP, in the program's Complementary Solutions track. Logitech Corporation, the LCP, allows Kramer products to work seamlessly with Logitech video collaboration products. Victoria, I want to start with you on this. This is not the first, and I don't believe it'll be the last. What I would say is a traditional AV manufacturer getting more and more into the UC space, unified communication space, and Extron has products as well, and we'll talk with Derek about that in a second. But when we're looking at this space, and it's been an interesting evolution. I still remember the first Infocom where huddle spaces were a thing, right, and huddle rooms. And I believe I made the comment at some point on some AV week or program where I was tired of hearing the word huddle room or huddle space. And it hasn't gone away, and I've gotten used to it now. But this really has become not just a profitable vertical for manufacturers as well as AV integrators, but also a one that makes sense. And the more and more I look at this, these are areas, and this is a technology and a business philosophy of making sure that everybody is connected and everybody's can communicate how they want and when they want. As you are looking at it as an integrator, and these various manufacturers are bringing things to market and bringing things to market for a specific for the UC space, you know, how are you able to take what is traditionally been what I would say is a traditional AV manufacturer and take a look at their products from a good objective point of view and say, oh, yes, absolutely, this makes sense and this makes sense in the UC space, as to opposed to just kind of, you know, throwing it out there and, you know, hoping it works.
I think it's great. It only makes sense, and it's finally time that more manufacturers getting into it. You know, I think it was, I can't remember if it was 2005 or 2009. One of those years was when Cisco bought Tamberg. And it was at that point that it was like, hey, look, you know, that's when more manufacturers should have been getting into UC and giving more products that were geared towards that vertical that could you know, achieve those unified communication vertical applications. And so, you know, the more tools that are available direct from the manufacturer, the better it is. I mean, it allows more integrators to get in there instead of having to hobble together things to make it a UC, you know, solution. I think it's exciting. I think there's some other manufacturers that came out with, you know, all-in-one solutions that are strictly straight up a UC solution. It's got, you know, camera, it's got phone, it's got everything you need, you know, collaboration, content share. I think, you know, it's a no-brainer. Why would anyone else, you know, we're AV, we're audio and video, visual. We, you know, it needs to be in our wheelhouse. And unfortunately, it wasn't for a while. And I think we need to take the reins back on that.
Well, talk about that for a second, because I was actually, my next question for you is how do you do, you know, the AV integrators make that case, but also from the IT side, how do they differentiate between, you know, yeah, I'm talking to Victoria and she can put in a great, you know, massive conference room or a lecture hall or what have you, but this is just a small space. So you know, kind of make the case for a second to the IT manager saying, why should I go to my AV dealer for UC spaces?
Well, it's only logical. If I can handle the big stuff, of course I'm going to do really well in the small spaces. You know, I don't know why you would want to hand this over to your, you know, IT vendor or even your IT team, because these spaces are going to get used more. You're going to have more traffic. So you're going to have more users. There's more chance for something to go wrong or something to, you know, user needing help, needs training. And, you know, as a provider, as a partner of yours, we can facilitate all of that and make sure that your users get the most out of the spaces that you guys purchased.
Yeah. Derek, from a manufacturing standpoint, I mentioned the fact that Extron has also got a number of products. One of them that I think is the one that to me that really speaks to this whole partnership thing. You've got a program with Zoom where you can bring in a Zoom room and it's the interface on the touch panel is exactly like the interface on the Zoom. Talk for a second about the move to UC within the AV manufacturing community and in Extron specifically. As you guys look at this space and you evaluate it, you know, what are the things that you guys are looking at where you go, yeah, absolutely, this is 100% us. We can totally do this. Just like Victoria said, we handle audio and visual already. So, you know, these are the areas that we can absolutely hit home runs in.
I think one of the things we recognized really early on is that there is a vast push by some organizations to be able to build and deploy rooms on their own. And there really wasn't a lot of opportunity for integrators, consultants, people who are AV-minded to be able to still find a way to assist in scaling those spaces so that customers who are looking to enjoy the benefits of their UC partner vendor. So for example, I go from one room or from my app on my phone or something, I'm using Zoom or I'm using Teams or something like that. And if I've already bought into that, it's really nice when you're able to take that same solution and allow customers or allow system designers the opportunity to create a system design for those larger spaces like Victoria was mentioning that so much of what we've done historically in the AV space have really catered to. So I think that's the first thing we recognize is that we focused on kind of trying to work with everyone and use as much of the available tools and use as much of our experience with some of these like-minded companies to try to find ways to still give designers the ability to design a solution. We don't really have, and we've never really had a lot of all-in-one kind of systems. I don't really know that we'll be making things like that, but we've always, at least at Extron culturally, we've always been a company that connects things together. Yeah. So I don't think we're making cameras. I don't think we're making displays, but we're certainly trying to fill out all the levels of that OSI model, right? Not just the physical layer, right? But all the other things to see if we can make those connections, you know, different spaces and in different places and allow our industry and the ability to make some money, because you're not making a lot of money deploying systems that you just take out of the box and you go put in the room, unless there's some value that you add along the way. And we're hoping some of the tools we've come up with allow, you know, people who are customers of Extron, but also maybe customers of some of these UC providers, those mutual customers, will give them some options.
I love the fact that you were able to work in the OSI layer model into that UC conversation.
That's a whole, it's like, you know, I was just talking.
That was perfect.
I was talking to someone the other day and I was thinking, you know, I think if we rewrote the OSI model today, we would probably write it totally different. Like we would probably keep some of the same characteristics, but knowing the way information technology works today and how we apply it, I almost think that would become, that'd become a great party trick. If we all sat down, a bunch of people, I think we would tailor that up in a way that that it wasn't originally intended for, but certainly can make it much more application specific, especially for our industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to mention, ask you one more question. You said that Extron doesn't really make a whole lot of all-in-one products, but with the products you do make, you are still connecting folks and kind of allowing them to pick and choose the other elements that come into those systems, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. And so in the case of like Logitech, whereas Kramer made an announcement, which is largely, I think, about connecting some of Logitech's meetup camera technology to some of their systems, which I think is probably pretty smart. Logitech is definitely the dominant player in the UC space as in regards to peripherals. You can see that in their annual reports, for sure. And so for us, getting a little bit of Extron control system technology directly on and inside the Logitech solution is something that's been a good win for us. I'm working with Zoom to be able to help them to fill out and complete their API so that customers who are also using traditional Zoom rooms or using the Zoom app, they have the opportunity to be able to extend those capabilities to more complex spaces and make maybe an Extron control system to be the Zoom room controller. We're working with Dolby on some of these same initiatives for some of their partners as well. And so I think, like Victoria mentioned, it's a nice time that in our industry to be able to focus on this, because I would say the vast majority of new systems that are being installed that represent kind of a new technology play really, really are trending towards what's happening in the UC space, what's happening with software-based conferencing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, last story here before we let you go from our friends over at AV Magazine. Sony's Edge Analytics AI video solution is now available. This technology, it's compact, lightweight. It's called the REAC1000. Uses its advanced AI-based video analytics technology to analyze the input it receives from connected cameras and automatically extracts the object in focus to combine it with other images in real time. It's actually quite interesting. There's a couple of use cases that they mentioned in this article. One is actually UC in collaboration for whiteboards. Others is some pretty dynamic digital signage and such. Derek, I want to start with you on this. These edge devices are becoming more and more prevalent in AV install, and I mentioned digital signage also is one of them. They're unique in the fact that edge devices, and real quickly, and you both can correct me if I'm wrong, these are devices that live not in the IDF, not in the closets, not in the rooms with the big stacks of servers. These are elements closer to the people consuming the AV, right? But there's power in them. There is computing happening on those edge devices, why they call it edge computing. So when we're designing and deploying these systems, both from an IT standpoint as well as an AV standpoint, what are some things that we have to keep in mind, both from a bandwidth standpoint, power standpoint, connectivity standpoint, that we have to make allowances for now that we have this power at the edge?
Well, the first thing I think you need to be aware of is what's the customer asking for and what are they looking to accomplish? Okay. And I think the reason Sony would make a piece of technology like this, because they feel that there's a lot of value in being able to use some of the existing technology in the space to analyze what's happening in it, so that people can make decisions about the number of rooms they want to deploy, the kind of technology is needed, and the infrastructure side. So I think the first thing to realize is that, boy, getting behind that display is getting kind of crowded.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of things back there. And so I see an opportunity for, you know, for our entire AV community to embrace some standards about the way things are mounted, the way that, you know, because some devices are going to take PoE, some devices are going to work via wireless, some devices are going to require dedicated power supplies. I just see a lot of infrastructure needs that are going there. And just based upon what Sony has made an announcement about. So I think there's some preparation there, but I think the downstream preparation is that there's a reason why these devices are going in. There's a purpose behind them. People want to be able to make decisions, right? They want to get insights into what's happening in these spaces. What I'm really curious to see is what's going to happen once all that information gets on that box. Because I think getting it to the box and using AI to analyze what it might be, I think that's the easy part. Where it goes next, I think that's the hard part. And I'm interested to see where that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and protecting, you know, the content, where it goes, and you know, the information that not only the infrastructure stuff, which that's obviously important too.
Yeah.
But then, you know, securing that box, making sure it can't get hacked. And then you're talking, I mean, the technology that they're talking about is super cool. It, you know, imagine to be able to make videos like that and on the fly and the things that you could do in the corporate world. But, you know, you're sharing and creating content that's very proprietary, that could be, you know, confidential. Mm-hmm. And so protecting that information, and then whose job is it to protect the information? You know, is that, you know, the person who connected it and put it up there and trained your users on how to use it, you know, or is it the end user themselves, or maybe it's a combination of both? You know, I think that, I mean, the video files like that coming out of there, huge, you know, pieces of information. And so where to store the data, how to secure it, and then how to make sure it's secured while the application's running. I think those are three main things to think about.
Yeah. And I was going to mention one other thing too, is that, I think there's a trend happening with companies like, with Panacast, I would say with companies with their product line, the Panacast product line, what Logitech is doing, I think now what Sony is looking to do, what some other companies have announced. You know, you're talking about, you know, we used to think about the camera here as being just the thing that you would produce video with. And now, you know, we're thinking about microphones and cameras as being sensors, you know, and I think the military and other folks have referred to these kinds of things as sensors for a long time. And I think, as usual, in the AV business, we're getting around to it. And, but I think that's where, to your point, Victoria, that's where we're going to see is that it might not just be the video, it might be the information that the analytics that you can garner, the ones and zeros. Oh, there were four people in this meeting. Oh, that's cool. They're all holding yellow pencils. That's interesting. Maybe we need to order more pencils, or maybe we need more conference rooms that seat four people, or, you know, I think the sky's the limit. So it's funny, right? In the AV business, we have to know all about all different disciplines. Now we need to know about AI on top of that. So this should be a lot of fun.
And I'll give you another one, Derek. There are certain cameras. Again, the smarts are inside the camera. The processing happens inside the camera.
Yeah.
I can tell how many of those people were paying attention in that meeting.
Yes. Yes. In fact, I've seen the folks at Altia actually show us and describe to us that, you know, we can recognize that we can actually just detect that people are in the room, but we can also detect, you know, how many pencils are on the table, or how many clocks are in the shot, or how many people are wearing a watch.
Yeah.
You know, they can do those kind of things because they can tune the AI, but all of that right now takes more processing power that will actually fit on most cameras. And so thus most of these things are getting pushed off to the nook, very much like what that in-room computing device, as you were mentioning earlier, just like Sony's approach. So,
yeah.
I think we might see some cool things at InfoComm this year in that regard.
Well, I do too. And I also think that as the room scheduling and monitoring software gets more and more advanced, devices like these will do nothing more than enhance those software packages.
Yeah.
Again, I did Extron's Global Viewer 14, 15 years ago, right? I think it was 1.2 when we installed when I was a tech manager. And it was you know, we used it and it was good for doing certain things, but just, you know, and other monitoring softwares have evolved as well, just like Global Viewer. But you start adding devices that are as the smartest thing in that room, not, you know, the software, and they're able to give you and bring you so much more information than just whether or not the projector's on, right?
Right. Yeah. There's so much. I mean, this, I don't know. I think this is a burgeoning area of our industry, and I think as soon as some of the technology matures, we're going to have probably some new opportunities for folks to be able to become experts in this area and really, really take advantage of the technology for their clients.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, that will do it for us for this month. Ms. Victoria Ferrari, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I'm with Netrix, and you can find me on Twitter, Victoria0429.
Very good. All right. And Mr. Jonkis, thank you, sir. How do people get a hold of you or Extron?
They can get a hold of Extron at extron.com. We have an 800 number and we answer the phone. So please call it. If you want to get a hold of me, you can always email me at djonkis@extron.com or you can find me on LinkedIn. Thanks for the opportunity, Tim.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, sir. For me, for Tim Albright, don't follow me on the Twitters. We're recording this the 31st of May, so I'm still rooting on my Blues, who have made it to the finals for the first time in 50 some odd years. But for AV Nation, go by the website, avnation.tv. That is avnation.tv. You'll find this program and a host of others. By the time this posts, we will all be on a plane heading to Orlando to bring you Infocom 2019, the 12th through the 14th of June. So check out the website for that. Also, while you're there, please check out our supporter section. These are the folks who help us financially, help us bring you Infocom and AV Week and IT AV, and Extron is one of those, and we thank them for their support. So all that and more at avnation.tv. That's avnation.tv. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. That's all the time we have for IT AV.